from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've got Coach Wunstead with us. So much to talk about. It is the opening week of the season in the NFL. Talked a little about some of the Bears' defense and what they got to get done. What about the offense, Dave? When you look at Caleb Williams and his debut, what do you anticipate? What has to happen? How good does he have to be? Or is this a case of, just move the chains and then find special when you need to, right?
Yeah, right. I think so. I don't think he needs to do anything over the top. I think when situations present themselves before the half, maybe a turnover or they get great field position, end of the game, you know, those are the situations that we have to be, that he's got to make some plays. You know, he's got to make a few plays to take advantage of the field position. If we're behind, if it's tie, he's got to make some plays to put us in position to win. That, I think, is what has been missing here. And you know, does he have to throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns? No, not one bit. I mean, we got enough skill. Just get the ball out quick and make good decisions. And when the 2 or 3 of those opportunities present themselves, take advantage of them.
How much significance do you place on him being named a captain? Because he's the first rookie captain as a quarterback in Bears history.
Yeah, that 8 captains. Wow. You can only have 6 go out for the coin toss. So that means every week, 2 of these guys are sitting on the bench for the
stretching.
Yeah, it's a lot. I've never heard of 8, but hey, you know what? That's the way that they counted up the votes, or the votes came in. So that's great. You know, that's.
I'm glad you differentiated from counting up the votes versus the votes coming in.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been on.
Have you ever fixed an election, a captain's election?
Absolutely, I have.
Care to share?
No.
Was it a quarterback who was it a captain?
No, it was not a quarterback who was a captain. Okay. No, it was another player.
But you have kind of
It's been close, you know, and I said, hey, he's got, you know, he was hurt. He missed a couple of days, but he's a leader.
Were you in Chicago when you rigged the election?
No, I won't. Okay. We're leaving it at that. But I'll tell you what, we're talking about here, and I don't want to jump ships. You know, the big article in the Pittsburgh paper today is that they've got a special package for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, interesting week around the league. So, Caleb, we know what he has to do, but I just throw that out there as a little food for thought for our listeners of our past quarterback. Yep.
I'm curious, when you think about a rookie quarterback, you know, you always hear people say that with the progression of an offense, I know it's different with a guy that was basically named the starter before he was drafted, but the idea being that as you learn an offense, it's not necessarily linear. In other words, you don't necessarily get better in week 4 by playing week 1 and week 2. Sometimes by week 3, you're no longer recall what you were doing in week 1. And sometimes it's almost like you just jump levels as opposed to climbing steps. Is that your experience with young players?
Yeah. I mean, I think you know, every week offensively and defensively, you're making adjustments. You're trying to put another layer on it, as we say, take it up another level, to stay one step ahead of the defense or to stay one step ahead of the offense. So, you know, I think how they, you know, you got your foundational stuff. Okay, this is what we are. This is what we've practiced the most. And once they feel real comfortable that Caleb has that, I'm sure they do now, and he goes out and he executes at full speed, he'll be ready. There's no question about this guy's mental maturity, mental football maturity as far as handling more stuff. The one thing that I want to see this week, and I don't know if this is going to be a good barometer or not, Tennessee Titans, but the speed of the game. From what I remember with rookies at all positions, particularly quarterbacks, particularly I'll go back as far as Dallas, my first year in the NFL, Troy Aikman being a rookie. The speed of the game from OTAs to preseason to when it's for real, there it is different. And that's what I'll be curious to see on Sunday.
If I say to you that this is the season where I want to see, and I think the Bears need to see, Matt Eberflus be more impactful on Sunday, what goes through your mind, and how can he do that?
Boy, defensively, I don't know what the guy could do. I mean, you know, I thought it was fantastic last year. I think that they'll probably be more aggressive in the passing game. And that may not be what Flus wants, but you know, all offensive coordinators always, you know, want the, you know, Shane Waldron is going to want to throw the ball a little bit more probably than deep down Flus would like to. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is how he could impact the game is give the kid a chance to. And but you know, that's such a fine line. You want to give him a chance, and everyone says turn him loose. Well, you turn him loose, and bad things can happen for a rookie quarterback in most cases. So there's a fine line there, but I do think that we'll be more aggressive on offense. And obviously, Flus isn't calling the plays, but they're not going to call any plays unless he approves them. That's the way I think it should be run, and I'm sure that's the way he does run it.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we haven't really seen much of Swift. We haven't seen them incorporate much of the running game.
That's big.
Into what they're doing. We've seen Justin Fields successful on the move a bit. I wonder if Tennessee wants to keep him in the pocket. I'm just curious as to how you see the game unfolding.
Yeah, you know, that you hit on one thing right there, that if there was one thing that would make me a little bit nervous, it is probably that I can't say, okay, we know that Caleb can make some plays on the outside. We know that that the young defensive linemen have made plays, and our secondary is right where we want him right now. Is our run game really where we want it right now?
How do you know?
We haven't done it enough. That's what makes me a little bit nervous, guys. Mm-hmm. You know, because everyone says, well, why? We don't need it. Well, let me tell you something. If the Bears got a 5-point lead, you know, in the 4 minutes to go in the game, you want to be able to run the ball and close the game out. And I lived this thing at Miami. Dan Marino, at the end of the year, how many times have they had a lead going back, for our older listeners, and the Dolphins refused and couldn't run it, and they would give a lesser team the football, and they throw a ball up in the end zone, and you get beat, and they should have never gotten beat. That's where the run game, the balance, yes, but to me, the run game is most important, particularly with a young quarterback, when you're trying to close a game out or keep the ball away from the other team before the half. Situations like that, it's invaluable. And, you know, I don't know. I assume it'll be good because we were, the last 2 years, you know, we were one of the best in the NFL running the ball. How much of that we're going to do and will that carry over? I don't know.
The Bears going 0-4 last year to start the season raised questions about how prepared they will be for this year. Little things like missed tackles, like pre-snap penalties, those are going to tell us, I think they're going to make us conclude how ready or not the Bears are for this season. As a coaching staff, does that worry you the most, these things in terms of preparation? How can they avoid falling into those traps and being a team that misses tackles and commits those silly penalties?
Well, you know what? You look back at the preseason and you look back at what you're working at and what you do in the preseason more times than not. I used to always tell my coaches, guys, we cannot stick our head in the sand. You know, we haven't run the ball for anything in the preseason. You think it's going to happen on next Sunday when we start the season? It doesn't. It doesn't just happen. So my point is, David, the Bears have been very good with their tackling. You know, I didn't see anything defensively that would tell me, oh, boy, that's a concern. You know, the pass rush, we're probably going to have to bring a little more pressure than we want. This will be a good week to do that because we'll match up well with the receivers. So, you know, the only thing would be is the just lining up and knocking people off the ball and running the football with Swift and company. Because you're right, Molly made the point, we haven't seen our man Swift much at all, DeAndre Swift, and we know what he's done in the past, but that has been missing.
Dave, what, if anything, will be different in the regular season about the kickoff game that we never saw for whatever reason in the preseason? Are people sitting on anything? Is there something different?
You know what? Or
is that overhyped?
You guys know what I said 3 weeks ago. When it becomes for real, everybody wanted to take a look at it in the preseason.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now that it's for real, I'm going to mimic. I was reading an article yesterday. Bill Belichick, they asked him that. They said, what would you do with the new rule? He laughed. He says, I'm kicking it out of the end zone every time. Every time.
Right.
He says, let's go play defense. Let's go. So that's that. And I said that 2 weeks ago, the exact same thing, that why take a chance?
Dumb question, but does every team have a kicker capable of doing that every single time?
I don't know. I don't know. That's
do the Bears? Is Santos that guy? If not, do you have a guy who's a specialist? I think that is the smartest way to approach it.
Right.
But you've got to have a guy that creates that certainty every single kickoff.
Yes.
With a strong enough leg.
You do. And the wind's a factor when you're playing outside and all that. But I think you're going to see that the majority of the time. Let's just leave it at that. You know, the other thing that don't underestimate our punting game with Taylor, right? With Torrey Taylor. I mean, this kid has been phenomenal.
Special.
In college, in practice when I was up there, and then we saw it in the preseason games. I mean, you talk about winning games for you, you know, and that's why everybody calls the special teams the hidden yardage, is because nobody talks about it. This kid has a chance to make as much of an impact on wins and losses as anybody on this team, in my opinion. When it's said, done. Nobody will want to talk about it because he's a punter. But I'm telling you, keep an eye on this guy. This guy's going to win games.
No one wants to talk about it because the offense is the story. But the reality is the field position game is where you find your hidden yardage, and that could be unbelievable.
It's a consistent point. It's a good point. If you are going to be a team that is led by your defense, as the Bears still are, they still are. It's going to be the strength of their team. The punter matters. It's going to matter a lot.
Yeah, the opening game. I mean, you know, it's fourth and three or fourth and two at the 50. Flew's going to punt that ball down there, and let's play defense. You know, why take a chance of going for it? Even though analytics is screaming, it's a 60% chance of making it.
Say that again, because this is one thing we talk about, the coaches having an impact on Sundays. Matt Eberflus has got to be consistent with this fourth down approach. I do think he's going to be more inclined to punt than go for it because he's got a punter who's a weapon, and that's going to drive people crazy.
Yeah, that's okay because the punter's going to do a great job. And do we have a defense? When you do that, as a head coach, you're saying, okay, we're going to punt the ball down there. They're going to start at the 10-yard line. Now, can we go in and stop them, or is this just a pipe dream? Are our odds better with our offense?
It's a great point, though.
And I think first, fourth, and three, that they punt.
Can Torrey Taylor punt off? Can you come up with some method there you go. Why not? He can do it. All right, Dave, we got to get to the college game because we want to save some time for that. your number one takeaway or your biggest takeaway from the opening of the college season now with 12 teams heading to a playoff?
Notre Dame may not lose another game.
Wow.
Yep.
Don't tell David.
I said a similar thing this morning.
Yeah. But you said that they have to take every game seriously and they can't have that attitude, and you kind of backed off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a schedule conducive to doing what
correct.
You just said.
And that's,
yeah.
and that's why
you're saying it.
That's why I'm saying it. And the other reason, the quarterback that they have, Riley Leonard, who transferred from Duke, this kid going – if he stays healthy last year, he was listed as a first, second, or third-round pick in the NFL draft. Did he play like that? No.
Not accurate.
But let me tell you,
strong and
he's kid's
to
gonna he's gonna get better. He's gonna get better, and he'll be playing his best football as they get on the stretch, in my opinion, when they really have to have that was a tough game.
That's exciting.
He's coming back off an injury. He's playing on the road. He's playing against his former coach.
He's with an offensive line that had six collected starts.
And they were good.
And they
won that game.
Well, they finally started running late. They didn't run early.
Yep. And you know the other team, too, and everyone, we know Ohio State is going to be knocking. I wasn't overly impressed with Oregon. You know, everybody said the team that is going to be real interesting to me because Michigan played Fresno State. Fresno State, right?
Yeah.
Fresno State was 9-4 last year for our listeners. All the Michigan people were bent out of shape. But it just looked like a ball game. Fresno State beat Purdue in the opener last year.
Good football team.
The 2 weeks later, they shut out Arizona State. So this Fresno State is a team that, no, they're not in the, Pac-12 or the Big 12 or any of those conferences, but they every year in and year out they get talent, and that was a good win for Michigan with as many players as they lost, drafted
defense.
New head coach, new quarterback, new coordinators. That was a
good win.
That was a good win for them.
It's a good debate who was the most disappointing team this weekend, Florida State or Clemson, but there is no debate that the game has passed Dabo Swinney by. Mm. Why he continues to cling to this idea that they can win a national championship or compete for one without going into the transfer portal is going to get him fired if he's not careful. That team continues to go, and he's stuck in the past. How does he get away with that, Dave? And do you expect that to change?
It has to change. It has to change. I remember the first year Notre Dame did not do anything at quarterback, and we all thought that their quarterback was just an okay guy. He was a good player.
Right.
And what did they do? They went out the next year, and they jumped right into the portal with both feet. I mean, think about this. There's only four teams over the last two years, big-time football I'm talking about, okay, the Power Five, that have not had a transfer portal player. Army, Navy, Air Force, and Clemson.
Wow.
I mean, think about that.
And service academies.
And there's right now, the studies say that 32%, guys, that's one out of every three players on your team starting are portal players. One out of three. And Clemson's got none. It makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I got to tell you, one of my takeaways from the weekend, obviously the ACC, seeing what happened with those two teams was kind of a shocker. Just Florida State now has lost two games. They're out. They still have teams they got to play. You know what I'm saying? They've kind of blown their chances. I'm surprised at Clemson, but I think that when I was looking at Florida, God.
Yeah.
I mean, and frankly, the SEC, like the whole LSU thing, I was Brian Kelly angry?
Yeah, you ever pound the lectern, Dave?
I mean, what was that?
I don't think so.
Was he pretending to be angry? It's so weird.
Molly thinks that was performative. What do you think?
Oh, I think there's a big part of Brian Kelly that was performative, 100%. You know? But, hey, I mean, they did some dumb things to lose that game.
They did. That's a dumb football team.
You know, so I don't know what. I don't know. I didn't, you know.
If only they had someone who was, like, in charge of all that. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If only they paid their coach to. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, $11
million. You know, another team in the Big Ten that I've got to mention.
Yes.
Iowa. Okay? Yeah. No, wait a second. Big win. And I am so happy for Cade McNamara, their quarterback. We all remember the story when he was a starter and took him to the playoff, college, won the Big Ten as a starter at Michigan. And then
J.J. McCarthy replaced him.
J.J. McCarthy replaces right. him, and he goes to Iowa, and he blows his knee out last year before the season starts.
Yeah.
Non-contact injury. And then he comes back, and he looked good. And, you know, Tim Lester, new offensive coordinator, because you know they're going to play great defense. You know that's going to happen. So if they got a little bit of offense and Cade McNamara plays pretty good, Iowa could be – a dark horse in this.
But they beat the Mark Grodys. No offense.
I'm just looking at the Mark Grodys.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Everybody beat the Mark Grodys this past weekend. Come on. Except LSU.
Hey, Northwestern beat a good Miami of Ohio team.
Northwestern, that was a heck of a win at the end. And, you know, that's, as David Braun said, that is a confidence builder.
Yeah.
That was a great win for
love
them.
Love that stadium, too.
Do you?
I do.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
Why?
Because it's reason. Right on the lakefront.
Oh,
where else are you
going
to be able to watch a football game and see a sailboat?
Are you going to a football game or are you going to the beach?
The Regatta. Dave, I love the setting. Jeez. Why didn't they put the permanent stadium there? It's perfect.
Oh, yeah, I'd hate for one of my players to say that. What do you think of the stadium? Was on the lake?
I saw the sailboats, Coach.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
so cool. They did a great job with it. The scoreboard, everything.
Oh, no, they did a great job of it. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that was a great win for them. It really was. Good start.
Coach, great seeing you. Thank you so much. Can't wait for the start of the season. You're feeling good about this one? Are we hesitant?
I do. No, I feel real good about this one. Absolutely.
Excellent. All right, that is Coach Wannstedt. You're listening to Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Just be yourself, you know, just be yourself, be authentic and, you know, let it come to you, which he's done. You know, he's worked his tail off. He's preparing, you know, he's got great passion, you know, in the practice and in the games and you know, that'll all come to him naturally.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That is the voice of Matt Eberflus talking about his rookie captain, the quarterback.
The Caleb rookie Williams. Captain, Caleb Williams, getting ready for the Tennessee Titans like the rest of the Bears and the rest of the fan base. And you can tune in Sunday morning before that game, 9 to noon, for the Chicagoland Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank. Join Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully. He's back for another year, better than ever, as they get you ready for the game. Immediately following the game, the three of them will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Aurelio's. That will stream exclusively this week on the Score's YouTube and Twitch channels.
Always fun to talk to those guys and get ready for the game. And then to have the postgame to get to go over.
The postgame's awesome, but I want to look forward to, and I am looking forward to, you asking Olin Kreutz about the left-handed snap question.
Well, that I feel like it's a legitimate question.
What is?
Like I'm not because of what Tony Wise told us.
Well, it's legit because of the shotgun factor.
Well, also because if you break a finger in a game, oftentimes you'll switch hands. I don't know that Olin's ambidextrous, but I got a hard time remembering him coming out of games.
I don't remember reading one scouting report in any prospective center that referred to the word ambidextrous.
Yeah, I don't think it's a thing.
I don't think it's a thing.
It comes in awful handy if you break a hand.
It is handy, so to speak. Anyway, big week. I mean, it's fun to talk to Dave about all the things that could happen and the preparing for. I find it interesting the way that he talked about the Titans receivers, because we had just spoken about how dangerous they could be in the red zone.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, proven guys.
Yeah.
And yet Dave did not sound concerned about that element of the offense as much as some others.
The Bears secondary should be pretty good this year. And I think
Of the team, right?
Yes. And so you look at that and you think that the secondary is going to do fine. And to me, it's a question of whether they can get any takeaways, because hopefully the quarterback, Will Levis, has given the ball away a little bit.
That would be nice. That would imply that you have a pass rush, which would imply that you have stopped the run enough to earn the right to have a pass rush. Right. And I think it all starts there. And maybe that's what Dave is speaking to. The receivers likely concern him less than the ability of the Titans to control the game with the run and with that offensive line. We mentioned Peter Skoronski. That's an offensive line that traditionally in Tennessee is very good and rugged and is going to establish the running game with two backs more than they're going to threaten you in the passing game with the 30-something wide receivers.
And that was their first-round pick this year, right? Skoronski was their first-round pick last year, and he and J.C. Latham will be on the left side, I believe, going into this game. So, and didn't they also sign a free agent on the offensive line? I just think that's something to keep an eye on. Make sure that the defensive line holds up and does a good job, and that there are no issues or any kind of problems stopping the run.
I'm also fascinated, like a lot of people will be, the kickoff rules changes, what the Bears are going to try to do. And I wasn't being facetious. I honestly don't know how many teams in the league have a kicker with a strong enough leg to consistently kick out of the end zone.
Legitimate question. A lot of them do, but a lot of them, who knows?
Because a lot of the guys who are kickers taking up a roster spot are there because of their accuracy, because of the way
you
trust them and field goals. And obviously extra points. But I don't know that they're there because of their ability to give you a booming kickoff into the end zone to remove the threat of a return. That may take on added importance if the rules changes produce a big play element on kickoff returns that we're not expecting, maybe that we didn't see in the preseason. That'll open some eyes and create some roster dilemmas that we don't currently have.
I don't even want to say this because I don't want to give voice to it or air to it, but I will say just about a game perspective, win the turnover battle.
Yes.
I won't say how you go about doing that and how you avoid certain things.
All takeaways are created equal.
But
doesn't matter how.
You want to make sure that it's takeaways, not giveaways, is all I'm saying.
And you got to have the takeaways outnumber the giveaways.
Well, you can't. I don't want to see any giveaways is what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, if you have one giveaway, you have to have two takeaways.
Okay.
And if you have two, you need
three. That's
fair,
but let's not talk about giveaways.
They shouldn't be giving anything away.
Unless Tennessee is giving it away.
I think that also speaks to the approach offensively. We talked about how Matt Eberflus will have an impact on Sunday. I'm wondering how that will mesh his approach with Shane Waldron's approach. I do agree with Dave, who said that as a head coach, as a defensive-minded head coach, likely to take a conservative, safe approach to the passing game.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron might take a different approach with Caleb Williams and three receivers he trusts, and maybe in the first series take a shot down the field. And, look, there's Roma Dunze running deep to make the defense respect that element of the passing game.
That's what you want to see pretty much on every set of downs, I believe. One shot down the field for every three plays ran. I've been listening to you.
Well, I think
your whole thing is don't stop being aggressive. Don't take away aggressiveness.
I don't think you want to do that because here's the thing, Mully. It's that if you're going to trust, he's no kid. If you're going to trust Caleb Williams, you're going to treat him like a veteran.
He's young.
He is young.
Not a kid.
But he's getting the veteran treatment.
Yes.
And he has since the moment he was anointed the starter before his first practice, which was the wise thing to do. Making him a captain, wise thing to do. The Bears haven't treated him like a rookie, so don't start with the first series of downs. Don't start with the first game in the game plan. Treat him like a veteran that you trust to threaten down the field. If he's not a rookie in your eyes, don't treat him like one on Sunday.
Brandon, find that tape, if you could, of the general manager talking about his expectations for the quarterback in terms of...
special?
Of yes.
Do special now.
Do special when it's special time.
Yeah, well...
Let the players around you get the ball to your playmakers until it's time to do special. And it's an innate thing. You'll know when special is needed.
Well, like in the preseason game that we have the small sample size, but it's all that we have to point to. Three and out, three and out, three and out. You know what? That would be a good time to call in the special. What happened in the next series? You called in the special and you saw it, whether it was with the scramble and the throw to Dunze or the scramble for a touchdown or even the play that was negated as a touchdown in the back of the end zone. All those things were special.
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best. And I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability.
Now, listen, does that say don't be aggressive, or does that say let the guys around you do what they can do? Mm-hmm. They built the team a certain
way. All right,
way.
So...
Then when the special time comes,
don't force the issue.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll accept that.
It's his first game.
Let the game come to you.
Let the chains move, buddy. We got crews of people that are still walking the sidelines, right? Wasn't that a big story? Like, oh, they're still going with the chains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And just let those chains move down the field. And then when it's time, you do what you do.
Chain gang's really a dated concept.
I
really
know.
Need to do something about that.
No,
I'm gonna push back at that a little bit.
I want to walk the sidelines with the chain.
I know what you're saying. And I guess that all that we're saying, too, is in terms of being cautious if we're going to go that route, is establish the running game and then use that to set up your passing game. All I'm saying is that when you do that, then take your shots. Take your shots down the field. You've got playmakers for a reason. Let them make plays. And then when you need it, that's when you do the special. Put it on a T-shirt.
Take your shots when you feel like it, but you might not even need to. I'm more of a John Gruden type. You know, just march down the field
take
a
your
little
shots.
Bit. Yeah, David.
You've got a deep threat.
Don't be reaching for anything. Just take it all as it comes. That's all I'm saying. You're trying to, you know, don't get the aggressiveness out of them. I'm just saying, hey, when it's time for the special, you bring the special.
I think it's going to be a T-shirt or something.
That's
what we heard from Ryan Poles. That's one of the best quotes of the preseason.
That's good stuff.
And the big news is, the best news is, that he's got a quarterback capable of providing it.
Oh, there's no shadow of a doubt as far as that's concerned. All right, join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville this Thursday. That's September 5th. Can Thursday already be September 5th?
Yes.
Where is the world? Time is flying. As Matt Spiegel and the Afternoon Show will be doing their show from 2 to 6 p.m., stop in to win prizes and shop for all things game day. Visit rallyhouse.com to find the location nearest you.
Spiegs and Dan Weider are talking to Craig Council this afternoon on the Afternoon Show. We're talking to Jed Hoyer at 9 o'clock. But first, we've got to talk a little bit more NFL.
312-644-6767. We got Mike Florio next. We're going to get to your calls a little bit later. Mullion on the Score.
My Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB! We
get BB! Boom,
BB! Gator!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, doing great today. How are you guys?
Doing well.
You know, I just keep wondering if this game in Brazil is actually going to happen, if the league may have pushed this. What's going on? You know, you hear various things, and I don't check on Elon Musk much, but what the hell's going on with this game down in Brazil on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, the last I saw on Friday is a Brazilian judge banned X in the entire country. And if you do the VPN workaround, you can be fined up to $9,000 a day or something like that. I haven't seen anything more about it the past few days. It's one of those where, like, when there's no news, sometimes things just go away. So I don't know what's happened there. The other issue is you've got some Eagles players, specifically cornerback Darius Slay, that just doesn't seem to want to go, and asking this question of why are we even doing this? The reality is that's your schedule. That's your game. And it's on the coach to get all the players on the same page and to accept the fact we play wherever they tell us we're going to play. And we fly there. We stay together. We go to the hotel. We don't go out and about. We go play the game, and then we go home. And if you're going to go play in a different country, why not do it right out of the gates? Get it out of the way. They've got 10 days between games because they play week two Monday night. And, you know, let's see who takes this business trip more seriously, because this is a critical NFC game between a couple of the teams that people are looking at as contenders to win it all. This may determine where the rematch happens, if there is one, in the postseason.
Another one of those NFC teams that thinks they can win it all, the 49ers, apparently get their guy. Trent Williams boarded a private jet. It's on X about him flying to San Francisco to finalize a deal. Social media reports that it is done. They got Ayuk last week. They get Trent Williams this week. It doesn't think that they're – probably won't be any acclimation period, Mike. The 49ers cave in, or did this what they had to do?
Well, I know with Ayuk, they could have had it for $27 million a year back in March or April. They didn't think they'd have to pay that much. They were surprised, I'm told, when they realized there were multiple other teams that were willing to pay him what he wanted. As other deals got done, the price went up and up. They ended up paying $30 million per year on a four-year extension instead of $27 million. That's $12 million difference for waiting. And with Trent Williams, I'm sure they knew all along what he wanted. The question is, when are you going to regard the clock as striking 12? And that's where they got it wrong. That's where the Cowboys got it wrong. That's where the Bengals are getting it wrong. The Vikings got it right. The Vikings got Justin Jefferson's deal done before mandatory minicamp. That's when player and team agreed the deadline was. You're going to do the deal anyway. Let's get it done so we can get the guy ready, so we're confident he's ready, so there isn't that extra pressure and that question and that possibility that the missed time is in some way going to affect things in a negative way. I think that is a critical wrinkle that's easy to miss. We just assume Brandon Ayuk's going to show up. Well, he's been there, but start practicing and be ready to go. Trent Williams hasn't been there. Is he going to be ready to go? It just adds an extra layer of questions and uncertainty. Whereas if you're there the whole time because they did the deal because they knew they were going to do the deal, you don't have that to potentially drag down the player's performance and the team's performance.
Hey, Mike, I was reading that the average age of an NFL owner is now 72, and that the league is concerned about, you know, the new pressure on taxes and succession and how this is going to work out for all these individual teams. Have they made any concerted effort to contact teams and try to get them to come up with a plan and have an order of succession?
We've seen this happen, though, with teams in the past. Jack Kent Cook, his family had to sell after he died. The Washington franchise ended up with Daniel Snyder. The Joe Robbie family sold because they didn't have the estate taxes ready to go. You've got to pay estate tax is based on the value of that asset. And the value of the asset keeps going up and up and up. You got to come up with a big check for Uncle Sam when the person in charge and who holds the bulk of the team dies. Now, there are other ways to plan your way around it. Some organizations know how to do it. Some don't. But this private equity rule from last week that allows up to 10% of any team to be sold to institutional funds that presumably will pay more than what you can find from just rich guy that you happen to find that wants to brag to friends and family that he owns part of an NFL team, that presumably could be used to raise money to ensure that the estate taxes are paid. But that's a cannon with one ball. You can only do that one time to get that 10%. Once you sell that 10%, that 10% is gone. So you got to make it last, and you got to do it right. But yeah, it's an issue. And the other issue is they're having a hard time finding individuals who have the wherewithal financially to own at least 30% of a team. There aren't enough people out there that are able and willing to write the big check. And you know, this private equity thing could be a first step on a slippery slope that ends up eventually with majority ownership by institutions or corporations to avoid this kind of issue where a team has to be sold because the patriarch or matriarch die and they don't have the money to pay the estate taxes.
Mike, looking forward as always to your work on NBC this year. The season starts Thursday night. A lot of anticipation here in Chicago for obvious reasons. Outside of Chicago, how would you describe the curiosity or the maybe even excitement about Caleb Williams' debut?
Oh, I think that there's a high degree of curiosity and excitement. I think people see him as a guy that could become kind of like Patrick Mahomes. I know that's a high bar, but he plays a lot like him. I think Mahomes influenced him ages 16, 17, 18, as he really understood what his body can do. And we were talking about this today. Devin McCourty was co-hosting PFT Live with me, and we had the stats of the single season passing yardage record set by Eric Kramer in 1995 of 3,828 yards, the single season passing touchdowns of 29. He doubted the back room. He doubted the statistics. Devin said there's no way there hasn't been a Bears quarterback with more than 3,828 passing yards. So it just shows you how long it's been and what the franchise is looking for. And it's, you know, 40 years after the 85 Bears, we're moving toward, I think, a potentially dominant offense, something we've never seen in the modern era of football from the Bears.
Great stuff. Really appreciate it, Mike. Great catching up.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. It's amazing.
Happy week one. It's game week. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Can't wait to see Thursday night's game. Can't wait to see Friday nights if they play it.
You know,
it's a little bit in doubt.
Listen, did you see the Darius Slater stuff he's talking about?
It's crazy.
About? He's like, we've been told we're not to leave the hotel because of the amount of crime in this area. What are we doing? Why are we going there? Why are they sending us into an area like this? Pretty wild. Pretty
fair questions. And if you're both of those teams, you have to be wondering about the wisdom of the schedule going to Brazil. At what cost?
Yeah, and $9,000 if you're checking Twitter. you're not allowed to check Twitter.
Don't hit refresh.
On a VPN because they have banned it from the country based on whatever Elon Musk is sending out pertaining to who's in charge of Brazil or whatever election issue there was.
Very crazy.
Help.
Help.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We got Jed Hoyer next.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly! Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.